Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, you thought there was a chance and then...
Did you?
Oh, you got savaged. Again. All right, it's The Usual Suspects. For the next 3 hours, we'll entertain you here at ESPN 97.5. That means Nick's in the house, Barry's in the house, and yours truly, Joel, is in the house. And we are here as The Usual Suspects. So are you, and hopefully you're along for the ride as we enjoy doing what we do Monday through Friday right here on the big station. What's up, man?
Really big show.
How did Cowboys and Indians go, partner?
Good times.
Yeehaw.
Good times indeed. I mean, the game notwithstanding, thanks to everybody that showed up and came out, and Jordan came and brought some crew and some other folks that I'm not sure if they were just too shy to come up. But
Nilly came.
We waved across the restaurant at each other, so that was okay, I guess. But, yeah, good times. Food is always on point.
Nilly is what I'm going to call Jordan from now on.
Nilly?
Because he's half of Nilly Vanilly.
You know
when he comes in with the drag. If he puts bike tights on, it's going to worry everybody.
Oh, but God, I don't need to see that. It's funny because we were talking about that, who he looks like.
Yeah.
And somebody, and he said before he had dreads, somebody said he looked like Randy Jackson. Like, yo, dog, that Randy Jackson.
That, yeah. Yep.
I was like, no. And then he showed me a picture. Like, as if I look like MC Search.
No, I could see that. If you
he
gave him
looks
like
that, Randy Jackson.
That new commercial Randy Jackson has, yeah, with the dog show. If you cut Jordan's hair and you gave him red rimmed glasses, yeah,
he
I could see
looks
that
a lot like Randy Jackson. So yeah, but no, it was fun, man. I mean, other than the game, obviously the game was interesting, but we had a good time. The food was good. Haas and Imran and everybody.
What did you eat this time?
So Jordan and I actually split some food because I wanted the Himalayan heat burger again, yeah, but I also wanted the chicken fried steak.
That's
so
good.
He had never tried the burger. So I was like, well, let's do this. You get one, I'll get the other. We'll split both, and then we can have both. And so that's what we did. And we had.
So you had nothing new. Cause I
like
was,
a married couple.
I'm looking at the menu. I've almost eaten everything on there. Okay. All the sides I've had.
Really? Well, that one day when he had us sampling everything.
But I'm saying I've had just about everything on the menu other than like the salads and stuff like that. I think I even had a salad one time there.
Really?
No. I got chicken and like green beans and stuff
you
like
got
that.
The healthy meal. I remember that.
The green beans are hella good too. The whole table was like, because Jordan ended up getting green beans, and it's a table full of dudes, and everybody's like, man, them green beans are good. Let me get some of those green beans. I'm like, you guys are sad. That's what y'all are. Sad. But no, it was good, man. And I even took some food home for the wife because she requested some. So yeah, it was fun.
So other good than the game, it was great.
Indeed. Indubitably. The game was, we watched a little bit of Rockets. We watched some Syracuse basketball. We watched the Texans.
You had to watch Syracuse basketball?
Yeah, Jordan is a Syracuse
oh,
alum.
That's right.
And so it was on when I got there because I got there before the game started. I got there at 7-ish. Game didn't start till 7:30. So we watched about 30 minutes of that plus the Rockets on another TV. And that was already over before it started. So then we watched the Texans, and it's funny because Jordan said he had a little, he had bet a few Diet Cokes on the game, and he had a parlay of, he took the over at 39, and I don't know if he had the Ravens or the Texans, but I was like, There's no way they get to 39. 39 on the nose.
That's how great those guys in Vegas are.
I'm telling you. But it didn't look like. At one point, it was 7-7, and he was like, "Ugh, you're right. I should have taken the under because this is an ugly game."
So it was a push?
I mean, well, it didn't look like they were going to be scoring much in that game.
But if over-under was 39 and it was at 39?
Yeah, he pushed. He didn't. Well, I don't know, because if he had the Ravens, then yeah, he would have lost.
Oh, it's a parlay, that's right.
Yeah, he would have lost. So I think he had to get both.
And Nick, you were at the big Sequoia last night. And
I was at the Rockets game, yep.
That thing got out of hand in a hurry. And if James Harden isn't the front runner, wasn't previously the front runner for MVP, he's got to be now, because he is balling his ass off.
Yeah, he kind of slowed down in the second half. But, man, he came off to like a crazy start. I think the first quarter was like 5-for-5. Or 6-for-6 from the field, five for five from behind 3-point line. I mean, he just had a perfect first quarter. Then things kind of slowed down, but they still got the W. You know,
now, do you think it slowed down because they were up so big that they just kind of put their foot off the gas and he just kind of eased up? Because, man, the intensity in which he was scoring in the first quarter was ridiculous.
I mean, I don't think I think it was an effort thing, because even D'Antoni said he was a little ticked off about the defense. And honestly, man, I'm not trying to criticize Harden because they got the W.
Don't you do it.
But he just looked like he got that 37 points, like, without even trying.
Yeah.
There were some plays where he didn't even know what he was going to do, and he just threw up a three and it just went in. Like, honestly, like, he's just that good.
Yeah.
It's a sentiment to how good he is, really.
When you get in a zone like that, and he is definitely in one of those zones, it does. It looks like he's exerting no effort at all. And on defense, I know that's true. But, I mean, from an offensive perspective, he just, you're at his mercy, and it's his will that he's going to impose on everybody when he gets the ball in his hands. And I'm just amazed with all the games that Chris Paul has missed, how quickly he has fit in and adapted, and how the assists are just 14 last night, I think it was.
Yeah.
They're just so easy for him, too. He looks like he's in total control, and there's already got that balance and that mesh between him and Harden that obviously Oklahoma City doesn't have.
Yeah, obviously. That box score freaked me out a little bit.
Why?
Because I didn't get to watch the game because we obviously had the Texans game going, so I didn't have a chance, and I wasn't about to go home and watch it DVR. If they would have given me a credential, maybe.
Good one. But, I like that.
But I'm looking at the box score. I'm like, well, let's see what happened, because we did get to see some of it. I saw the first half, which it was over by then anyways. But I was like, all right, Harden with 37, Capella with 20. I did get to see Ryan Anderson knock down a few three-pointers at home.
Bad.
I was like, what's going on here? Ariza contributed
at
11 points.
Plus the foul, too.
Chris Paul, 4 points.
Yeah.
But 14 assists. And I was like, you know what? I don't know if it was meant to happen that way or if there was any strife. Because, again, I didn't get to watch the entire game and, you know, closely. I'm having conversations and watching three different games at once. But if Chris Paul was okay with his night, That's a scary proposition for the rest of the NBA. If he's good with getting 14 dimes and only 4 points, watch out.
It's the biggest indication of where they are as a franchise and how great this move has been. Because to Barry's point, which is spot on, because he's sacrificing his own game for the betterment of the team. That's why they're sitting where they are with the record that they have, as opposed to Oklahoma City, who still has three very big egos and individuals that when push comes to shove, and it's evidenced in their last three games, they go out and they beat, I mean, they thump Golden State with Kevin Durant, with Steph Curry, with all those guys. Then they lose to New Orleans with Boogie Cousins missing half the game, and they lose to Detroit after blowing a 17-point lead. And when you watch the game film and you say, why is this happening? Because when push comes to shove, they got to get theirs. And it's all about, give me the ball and get out of the way, and I'm gonna do what I got to do. And it's just not going to work. They got a good roster, and they could do a lot of damage if they could play like the Rockets are playing from the standpoint of unselfishness.
Uh-huh.
They just haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, if you're looking at the box score, yeah, Chris Paul hasn't had a crazy offensive game in terms of scoring points since his return at home yet. But if you appreciate assists, if you appreciate the passing game, you can still appreciate his presence on the court. For
and his
sure.
defense.
I was going to say, defense and leadership are the intangibles, too.
I love the way he kicks the ball out to the behind to perimeter players. I mean, the way he does it, it's so sudden. And it's not about the no-look part about it. It's just he really makes himself look like he's driving to the basket, and then he automatically throws the ball out. It's really harder than it looks.
But as opposed to throwing it out to Wesley Johnson or guys like that, you could see his comfortability that we talked about in the past when Harden really had to trust the players he was passing it to, and if they didn't make shots, it was frustrating. When he turns and throws it out to the perimeter and he knows Eric Gordon's catching it or even Anderson's catching it, he feels so good because he knows those are the easiest assists he can get. But then when he really needs to put the nose down in the lane, that one where he looked like he was going to go around his back and keep and pass it, and he just skipped it right in front of him and kept going, and people were just – the defense was frozen.
The crowd was crazy.
Yeah,
for that.
He's unreal.
That was a great play.
Yeah, so that – you know, look, as a Houston fan, as difficult as last night was from a Monday Night Football perspective, your Astros won the World Series. Your Rockets have the best record in the Western Conference. I mean, there's a lot to be thankful for and a lot to be excited about as we continue to move on.
Okay, you have until December 1st.
For what?
To bring up the Astros, and then we're not.
Well, we didn't have Julia Morales.
Yeah, I know. Which, can we talk about Trey being creepy for a minute?
Sure.
Because I asked Trey, I was like, Trey, go ask Julia Morales if she likes redheads.
Yeah.
Trey's a redhead. And he goes, no, she looks too much like my mom. I was like, bro, you wish your mom looked like that. Are you kidding me? There's no way. And then I was telling Real, he's like, I hope he doesn't wish that. Well, it's Baytown. You never know what goes
you
on in Baytown.
You never know.
You never know. It's is Baytown considered East Texas or South Texas?
I would say East.
I would say East too, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I could be wrong.
Because you take I-10 East to get there.
I can't wait to read all these texts I'm going to get from Baytown now.
Yep.
Hey, man.
What Nick is to
409. Oh, yeah, let's just make it clear that Barry is the one who made those comments, not me.
Yeah.
Well, they're 409 as well, so we'll see.
Okay.
Also,
so if Julia looks like his mom and you're his dad, I'm just trying to piece it together here, man.
Hey, man, don't get me in trouble with my wife.
Hey, I'm just trying to piece things together.
That was hilarious.
It's funny because this is the kind of impression that you know you had on somebody, because I've had conversations with Julia at the Astros games. I met her opening day. A couple days later, ran into her again to add a couple of different conversations with her. So when I walked in, Raheel's like, hey, Barry, this is – because I thought they were over early. Like, for some reason, the door opened
the door
and people
open,
were talking. I was like,
was
oh,
off.
They're done. So I come walking in. They're like, we're not done yet. I was like, oh, my bad. But Raheel's like, hey, Barry, this is Julia Morales. And she goes, nice to meet – I was like, yeah, we met like 5 times at the Astros game. She goes, she just stopped like mid, nice to meet you. I was like, that's cool. I get it. That's fine. I understand. I have a face that no one wants to remember. It's fine, Julia.
That's what happened to the Rockets PR department.
Because you were shaved when, you know, you were...
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. It was this manly-ass beard that threw her off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, everyone at the restaurant roasted me. You guys missed a hell of a roast. I walk in. As soon as I walk in, Haas just won't leave me alone about my beard. In fact, he wanted to make a bet because he, for some reason, I don't know if he was drunk or something, but he was like... The Texans could make the playoffs. I was like, you are high and insane. He goes, you want to bet? I'll bet you loser can't shave for until the end of 2018. And I was like, man, I've been down that road once. I'm not doing that again. I'm not that confident. Hell, there's injuries in the NFL? No, I'm not doing that. And then when Lamar Miller went down for a minute, I was like, damn, I should have taken the bet. But then he came back, so I was glad I didn't.
He would have had to not shave?
Yeah, well, Haas can grow a beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't look like this. Like I said, I got my grandma's beard, so... It's not good. This is what my grandma looked like.
Your grandma had those big bald patches?
Yeah, she did. She had a sweet-ass mustache, but that's about
Nick,
it.
You look pretty well-groomed. I'm just throwing that out there.
It's not like I worked at it. You know,
well, I was going to say, but at least you took it.
No, you definitely didn't make any effort.
I feel comfortable with my... Oh. Never mind.
What?
I feel comfortable with my lack of a beard.
Yeah, he shaved again.
Yeah.
He's broken more promises in 1 month.
But could you imagine? Could you imagine? Though he probably, I mean, after 30 days, what would you look like after 30 days?
Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
Joel is Mr. My fingers were crossed. Remember that kid in school where he would bet you, or he would say, if you do that, I'll do this. And then you didn't. He was like, my fingers were crossed. That's Joel. He's not growing his beard out because his fingers were crossed. I bet you.
Jinx, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Anyway, all right. So
you were a jinx guy.
Yeah, we're going to go on with the show. If you want to join us, you know the number, 713-780-3776. That's the HRP listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is funny. Usual suspects back with a whole lot more. Stay with us, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started on The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, Barry, Joel, and a cast of thousands, as you guys are the suspects that keep us going on a regular basis. That's why you call, text, and tweet. We love it. We mentioned Astros last segment, so we might as well keep mentioning Astros until our deadline, self-imposed by the commissioner himself, of December 1st. First and foremost, I didn't see it coming this quickly. I don't think you did either. But Carlos Beltran is going to get an interview for the managerial job of the New York Yankees.
I would be shocked if he gets the job. You're going to turn over a franchise like
the
Yankees.
He better have a hell of a bench coach.
A storied franchise with a lot of young talent just ready to take the league by storm. You're going to turn that over to a guy that's never managed an inning in his life.
Now, I would tend to agree with you, right? And that's why I said you better have a hell of a bench coach that can kind of walk you through some of the real strategy that you have.
But chances are, if whoever that bench coach is, probably should be the manager because he's more qualified.
Probably right. But I give you as exhibits A and B, Derek Fisher, Jason Kidd, and a lot, you know, along that.
How well have they done?
Now, Jason Kidd's doing good in Milwaukee, decent in Milwaukee. Mm. And he did okay in Brooklyn.
Did he?
But I'm saying, and Derek Fisher was god-awful terrible and he should have never gotten the job.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it's happened. There's past precedence with it. But, again, it's like when Charles Barkley used to say, I'm going to be a general manager someday. I go, well, you better get an analytics guy.
He was also going to be governor, too. So.
Yeah. But from this case, look, I always thought someday for Beltran, but I thought maybe he would be a bench coach first or something like that. But I didn't think that he was going to go right to the head of the class. The other name that's on that list that, again, with the same kind of situation we're talking about, Aaron Boone, now you're really looking just for the whole publicity thing.
Yeah, and just former Yankees, and I mean,
yeah, you're gonna that, when they kept saying you have to have a former Yankee. So Aaron Boone actually interviewed for the job already. So he's going to come right out of the ESPN booth, and he's going to manage the Yankees.
No, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. They're trying to go try to find the Steve Kerr in baseball type deal, but to me. You've got to take guys like that, especially like somebody like Beltran, and let him manage at least a year in the minors before you start giving him major league work
or
as a manager or bench coach or whatever.
Put him somewhere on the staff where he could assistant hitting coach, but he can absorb everything that's going on from a straight coach's perspective.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But with that, I bring up the Astros because you also had a bet or two during the World Series. One is because of that patchy, naked spot beard you got going.
I lost this bet, I don't even still, to this day, I forget who it is I made the bet with.
See, but then you remember the details that somebody I said I would do it too. It's all fake news.
Oh, you,
it's all fake news.
You're such a liar. I can't believe you come on the show every day and lie that you didn't agree to not shave for the month of November.
And you know what? El Jefe even checked it. He said I had to check with Lisa. Lisa vetoed the idea.
And
it's
then,
gone.
And off air, you told the two of us.
No.
You're going to sit here and lie to our face?
Nick doesn't remember that. Nick shaved too.
I know Nick shaved, but he admits he lied and said, no, I'm not doing it.
Well, we both admitted that we do it.
Thank you, Nick. That's what I've been trying to get him to say. He's been saying he never agreed to it. He's a liar. He's bald-faced lie, literally.
You show me the tape.
And physically. It wasn't on air. Well, we were sitting and we were doing
news
show
in my
prep.
Book, then. I don't have proof.
See? This is cross your fingers guy right here.
Well, that's fake news.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, so that was the one, Ben, and I still don't know who the hell it was with, the listeners, with the stupid beard thing. But then I had a bet with a comedian out of L.A. named Peter Sears that I worked with in Oklahoma City. And he's a huge Dodgers fan. I did his Dodgers podcast. Like, he was all in. And he just knew the Dodgers were going to win. So our bet was the loser had to wear the opposing team's gear, shirt and hat. And then you had to take a picture of it and make your profile picture on all your social media. So Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, I mean, your MySpace, your Friendster account, all that had to be in, you know, I was going to have to be in a Dodgers shirt and hat. Obviously, Astros won. He still hasn't taken the picture. He still doesn't have an Astros shirt and hat. And so I've been hounding him on Facebook. And I was like, bro,
why don't you? He bought a shirt that said Houston on it, and it was orange and blue, and it wasn't even their font or anything. It just said Houston. I was like, no, it's got to say Astros. It's got to have their logo. He goes, dude, there is no shirts in L.A. that say Houston Astros on it. I was like, you're full of crap. There is at least one shirt. He goes, no, I'm telling you, there's no shirts. I disagree. So I got online, and I just quickly searched sports stores gear Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And I found four stores on that they were like Yelp reviews. So I just went to those four stores. Not a single one of them has an Astro shirt. In fact, one of them, I thought, well, maybe they just sold out or something. So I went to every on this one store, I went to the baseball section, and they had every team listed. And I would go to, like, of course, the Dodgers. They had tons of gear. They even had Giants gear, and they had hats and shirts. They hated Giants. Right. And some of it said sold out. So I'm going through every team. Every team at least has two hats or a shirt or a bobblehead. There's something in the store for sale. They had the Tampa Bay Rays. You could get a Tampa Bay Rays hat at this store in L.A. I went to the Houston section. Nothing. No shirts, no hats, no socks, no gloves. You can't get Astros condoms. There was nothing there. I was like, what is this crap? Is this the only team that you can't buy the gear from? Are you that butthurt, L.A.? That you're that big of a baby that you can't sell Astros gear in your store for some reason.
It's surprising to me the Giants thing, because there is that long-standing feud.
But you could get Rangers gear at this stupid store, but you couldn't get World Series champion gear. What if you're an Astros transplant? What if you wanted to buy? I was like, this is crap. Well, the only other team that they didn't have gear for was the Twins, and who knows why.
I don't understand that either. But here's the thing, because I saw you had commented on a Dodger credentialed quote-unquote media person that had a blog or something.
Idiot.
Yeah, because she posted and was ripping Josh Reddick because he was checking out a red Ferrari and he had a t-shirt on that said "We beat LA."
Yeah.
And it was like the LA, like the Dodger logo, but it wasn't the Dodger logo, and it was blue with orange. And she just tried to roast him, and she got drilled in every direction from Astros fans. And as I was reading all the comments, I'm going, wow, it's mm-hmm. It was a great series, two great young teams, but they're really butthurt.
LA took it tough because I think they thought that they were just going to roll the Astros. I really, because
they
when you talk
hype,
to this
yep.
guy, when I talked to Peter, I mean, there was no doubt. I mean, that's why he made the bet. He was just like, yeah, there's no way that the Astros are beating these Dodgers. There's just no way. And I don't think anyone expected it. Now, maybe six games, seven games. Hell, I picked the Dodgers to win in six. I didn't think that the Astros could beat them. But I was surprised, and I am still surprised at how butthurt that entire city is over that loss.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that intense.
Yeah.
But that's crazy.
But
so,
yeah.
So is he going to get a t-shirt? I mean, it's,
well,
it's the
so
internet.
What I did is I posted on his Facebook page to make him look bad. And said, hey, here's two links where you can order a shirt and a hat. Don't forget the hat. But I posted a link to Academy, and I posted a link to MLB.com's MLB shop. So do your thing, player. But
and don't be getting the Larry King version of black hat with Astros just typed across
yeah.
the front of it.
No.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
I just said, no, because he tried that. I should show you the shirt, the Houston shirt. It was whack. I was like, no, you're not. It probably cost like $250. Probably ordered it from Alibaba or whatever the hell that Chinese Amazon is, where they sell all the cheap stuff.
Wow, it's like Alibaba Chinese. I wasn't putting it together.
I don't know what the hell it's called. Don't get me. Don't make me stick to facts.
I think you already got yourself with that one. But
what is the Chinese website?
I don't know.
AliExpress, whatever.
Yeah,
same thing. Alibaba, AliExpress.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. So we got that. All right. So now you've got Lawrence Holding. He wants to talk about Astros gear in L.A. So hold tight, Lawrence. We're going to get to you.
Where's the caller that said I was a sourpuss?
Yeah, someone called up
Josh,
and said Barry
the sourpuss. I think he did call back. And
don't
then
be scared, Josh.
Checked out. Come on, Josh.
Up. Call back.
Grow some big ones.
Chicken.
Well, right. See, now he's not going to call back.
Why? We're waiting on
it. May not have been like an antagonistic call.
We're not trying to be antagonistic
if
in return.
If you call in and they put on the screen, Josh wants to talk about Barry is a sourpuss.
Yeah, I guess
come
he's
on,
coming
man.
At you.
But I'm like, I'm game. Just call. Let's have a talk. Let's see what
he
we have
been
to
messing
say.
With you though.
You think?
Hey, we're just a half hour into the talk, so when we come back, we're gonna have plenty of guests and lots of special fun. If you want to join in on the program, 713-780-3776. Give us a call, give us a text, or hit us up on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel, ESPN 97.5. Yeah,
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, Nick, Barry, and Joel rolling along on a Tuesday, fresh off a win for your Rockets and a loss by your Texans as we continue to talk sports and stuff, as we continue to roll on. Novo, you want to get in here regarding this Yankee situation. What's up? What's up,
man? How you doing? Okay, hey. I had your comments about the Yankees and the manager, and then you referenced Steve Kerr. It is the Steve Kerr's reference that I want to talk about. I mean, you guys are making Steve Kerr sound like a genius, like he's a great NBA coach. I think the media, you know, they get this thing wrong all the time. Anybody that wins a game, oh, he's a great coach. No, let me tell you this. My grandmother, who knows nothing about basketball, will be a great coach if she's coaching the Warriors. And even you sitting down there, yours truly, you can coach the Warriors a championship. Because, man, they got the best players. They've got Steph Curry. They've got Klay Thompson. They've got Kevin Durant. Come on, man. Even a goat can win with that. Hey, nothing against Steve Kerr. You know, I like him as a player and things like that. And I like his views and things like that. But I just wanted to put a break on it. You know, everything, oh, everybody's a great coach.
Novo, before we put a brick on it, let me ask you a question. Why isn't Billy Donovan then having the Oklahoma City Thunder on top of the Western Conference beside the Warriors at the number two spot? Because he's got Carmelo Anthony and Russell Westbrook and Paul George, and he's got a center that's playing to an all-star level right now in Steven Adams. They're not playing anywhere close.
You know why? Because that team is not constructed the right way. You see, the sum of the parts have to fit. They have to fit. You have to have players who are willing to share the ball. You got to have players who are selfless and who are committed to playing defense.
I agree with all that, but it's the coaching staff that instills that mentality.
Let me tell you what a great coach is. A great coach is a coach that will go to the worst team without talent and then make them achieve beyond their potential.
Okay, time out. Novo, stop. Listen to me for 1 second. Steph Kerr and Klay Thompson were with the Warriors when Mark Jackson was their coach and they didn't do squat. When Steve Kerr got there, he made the Warriors a better team. He made Steph Curry play defense for once in his life. Dude, to just dismiss what Steve Kerr has done, I don't know that you watch basketball.
No, it's wrong. Let me tell you this now. What I'm saying is this, okay? Players, when they come into the NBA, it takes them anywhere from 3 to 4 years to hit their peak. I mean, not peak, but what I call initial peak, where they can be able to actually do great things. Now, if you find out that, Mark Jackson failed a couple of times with the Warriors, but then Steph Curry was less than 4 years in the NBA. Steve Kerr came in at the right time, in his fourth year, when he was ready to take off.
No, Steve Kerr also put Draymond Green in the lineup and sat Lee.
Which Mark Jackson wouldn't have done.
Exactly. Bro, you're wrong on this. Novo, you're wrong.
Let me finish now. Now, one of my favorite teams is the San Antonio Spurs, Popovich. People say, he's a great coach. No, he's not a great coach. Because guess what? When he came in there, he had Tim Duncan. And then now you have David Robinson. What I'm trying to say is this. It has nothing to do with Steve Kerr. But what I'm trying to say is that a coach is only as good as the player that he has to work with. Nick Saban now. Everybody say, what a genius. No, he's not.
Because you're a Spurs fan and you don't think Greg Popovich is a great coach?
Novo, you've made your point, Novo. You're just giving the same example over and over again. I don't want to hear the same point over and over. I'm sorry. You're making the same point over and over, and your point is that a good coach does it without players. I hate to tell you this, but in the NBA, all it takes is one player to make you look like a good coach.
LeBron James in his rookie year wasn't good. Takes 3 or 4 years.
The point, it's a moot point because Steve Kerr came in and made so many different adjustments to that team that Mark Jackson didn't.
Well, you hit the biggest one. Draymond Green going into the lineup. Could never get past David Lee.
Mark Jackson had Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Thompson on the same team and did nothing with them. Steve Kerr came
in
changed the culture, changed the mindset, changed a lot of different things
in
with the Warriors.
First year.
And should get credit for those changes.
No,
not just dismissed by some guy that thinks that only a good coach goes in and wins championships with nobody on the team. That's not how sports works.
No, and again, Greg Popovich, you have to mold the people that are on your roster, including your coaching staff. You have to work with your front office, but you got to mold the players and get them into the mentality that Oklahoma City can't do, which is for the betterment of the team, you make certain sacrifices, but you attain much more success. And when he had Tim Duncan, yes, he still didn't have all the pieces. He didn't have the guys like Danny Green or Bruce Bowen or the guys that knew their role that were in the rotation because they weren't trying to score 30 a game. Uh-huh. They were just trying to do the little things.
I mean, I don't mind if you disagree, but your point has to be valid. You're just wrong about Steve Kerr. I mean, there's no how else do you explain the difference in the teams with Mark Jackson and Steve Kerr? Because he was doing it before Kevin Durant got there, and he was doing it with the same players.
That's what
that Mark
forget.
Jackson had.
People forget that this team was all world before Kevin Durant got there and won a title.
Yeah.
That's what people are forgetting.
I mean, the Splash Brothers existed before Durant.
We've talked on this show in excess about the fact that the Warriors were built the right way. It's not like everybody decided to make a super team. They drafted Steph Curry. They drafted Klay Thompson. They drafted Draymond Green in the second round. They got guys and they constructed, and then when they had such an attractive program, guys like Sean Livingston wanted to be a part of it. David West wanted to be a part of it. And eventually, Kevin Durant said, I want in. The guy I'm playing with, we're not seeing eye to eye, and we're never going to win the big one. I want in. He went there. They won the title.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
So, I mean, I'm all for admitting when I'm wrong. I'm not wrong with this one. Novo, you are. I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
I hate to be the one to tell you that.
Fair enough. Quentin wants to talk about Steve Kier, if you believe the board, but I'm going to believe that that's Steve Kerr.
Hey, guys. Great show.
What's up,
man? Yeah, I want to piggyback on that last caller. Yeah, I think Phil Jackson was probably the worst coach in the history of basketball. He had Michael Jordan. He had Scottie Pippen. He had Steve Kerr, Kukoc. And then when he went to the Lakers, he had the Black Mamba. He had Shaq. He had all these superstars. So he's a horrible coach. I'll hang up and listen.
Obviously. I mean, you want to win, you go to Sacktown and win.
Now, you know, Red Auerbach, who Phil Jackson broke his record, had a real problem with Phil Jackson for exactly what Quentin was saying,
yeah,
though, because Red built the Celtics on drafts and savvy trades, but not by getting super teams. And that's when you look at his knock on Phil was, Phil waited until the Bulls had all the pieces and swooped in on the Bulls. Then he waited till Shaq and Kobe got together and he swooped in on the Lakers.
But that's part of sports though, right? Like if you look at Rudy and you look at some of the teams and some of the coaches, they had Olajuwon, one of the greatest centers of all time. But it's the combination of having Olajuwon, having the role players around him, and getting the chemistry right and knowing how to use it. Rudy changed the game when other guys, I mean, what Fitch was here during the Olajuwon era.
Rudy created the inside-out philosophy
exactly.
Before anybody thought about it. Nowadays, it's the norm with three-point shooting.
But that's what I'm saying. So, Rudy, yeah. Are you going to say Rudy's not a good coach because he had one of the greatest centers of all time on his team and Clyde and all these other guys?
You also hit the variable,
I mean,
there was actually a lot of people around the league that didn't know what the starting lineup was outside of Hakeem Olajuwon. They
exactly.
Couldn't name one Rocket
but,
outside
but
of
Olajuwon. But again, the stretch four, Rudy doesn't get credit for that. But that changed the way the Rockets played basketball, and it's what won them a championship. And you're going to say he's not a good coach because he had Olajuwon.
And we talked about it earlier, but it goes right into this conversation. People are underestimating the value of chemistry.
Yep.
Chemistry means I'm Paul George and I say, I don't need the ball right now. You need me to focus on shutting down their best player who's killing us. Carmelo Anthony, I need to rebound because I'm playing the power forward position. Let Russ handle the ball, but you see them fight over who's going to bring it over half court throughout the game, and you're like, they're just not getting it. That chemistry is not there. Golden State's got it, and they got it figured out, and they got it. Whether you say that they've got some magic formula or whatever it is, they know how to play their roles to a T. That's why they succeed.
And a part of it is just recognizing when you suck and when you're not playing well and just letting the other players, like Chris Paul, like when he's not hitting the shot, it just doesn't matter. Like he's gonna be an asset on the court. He's gonna make plays. It just does not faze him.
Because his mentality is, I still do enough other things that the team needs me to do that I can be recognized at some point for. But I can help this team win.
I want to know what Justin's gonna, how he's gonna wreck me. Justin, what's up, man? Wreck me?
Yes, sir.
How you gonna wreck me, dude?
I that was your friend's words. I wasn't trying to wreck you. I'm just letting you know that Yeah, I'm a fairly new listener to the show.
Okay.
And I've heard your stand-up before, and you're a funny guy, but on the show, you try so hard to be funny at every chance, and it's just not good. It's forced, and it's cringy almost.
Oh, sweet,
and
dude.
I'll give you an example. Yesterday, go ahead, sorry.
No, please continue.
Oh, so yesterday, right, you were making a comment about Cyber Monday, and you were trying to say, like, Joel's wife and him were going to have cyber sex because they misunderstood what Cyber Monday. That was, I mean, come on. You don't have to be funny every time, you know? Just let it be organic and natural, and you're a great comedian. You try too hard, Barry. And again, I'm a new listener, so maybe it's just the last few weeks it's been off for you, or the last few months, excuse me, but just don't try so hard.
But if you knew, Barry, that's what he does off the air to Joel. Like, that's what he does off the air to me.
Justin, I'm myself on the show as I am off the show. So, I mean, you know, I'm not going to be for everybody. Justin, I get it. There are plenty of people that don't like me, and that's fine. And am I going to change and not try to make funny remarks or do things? No, there's a reason that I'm on this show, and it's not for my sports knowledge. It's not because I can break down hip turns and
what?
X's and O's.
Nick, time out.
But I appreciate the feedback. I do.
But you're the statistician.
Huh?
You're the stats guy.
Yeah, I am the
stats
guy.
I thought this dude was Mr. Analytics, and now I'm finding out he's not on the show for his sports?
Of what?
Now I'm pounding the desk.
I was going to make a joke, but, you know, with Justin, I don't want to force it.
Wow.
That's exactly how you would have said it off the air. When you were talking about the cyber sex thing.
And I know.
Was wondering where he was going at first. I was like, what is he talking about?
It's all good.
You know, you can go to @BarryIsSerious and you can have this conversation all day.
That's true. You tweet me @BarryIsSerious and I'll give you responsible takes. And I won't force it. I promise.
But appreciate the critique, though, buddy.
Yeah, I just got this text. Justin is an idiot, so there's that.
I don't know why you read that on the air.
You said, ha, 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 you said something once that wasn't funny for someone. Laughing my ass off. Yeah, see? At least most people get it. Justin, hey, no one's going to make you listen to the show. I get it. Some people don't like me. Some people don't like Nick. That's how it goes.
I can't stand Barry,
honestly. People don't like Joel. Some people don't like this show. Some people do.
But you have choices.
That's how life works.
Yeah. Just like everything else.
I get it. I've listened to shows where only half of the show was good, where you're like, yeah, I like that guy, but the other guy I don't like. So you have to choose. Do you want to listen to the show or not?
Everybody's got choices in this world.
Totally understand.
The United States of America.
Justin, I appreciate the feedback. I think it was honest and constructive, and I don't think you were trying to be a jerk. But, I make jokes. It's what I do, so I'm not going to not do it.
And Nick and I want you to come back and listen on a daily basis.
All right. Maybe we could just warn Justin every time I'm going to talk. Maybe have like a beep that goes off.
From a technology standpoint, like, we can't even figure out the internet. We're not going to figure out warning signs for broadcasters.
Boop. Barry's going to talk.
Beep. Barry will talk in
five seconds. Warning. Joke inbound. Warning.
Incoming. All right, we're going to continue to roll on with the show. We'll take a break, come back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. And just like the prodigal
son, I've returned. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, we're back on The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, Barry, Joel. Just getting started, and boy, are we. Justin set it off on a different track, and the text messages are ready to square off and duke it out.
Yeah, 713-780-3776. There's a lot of text messages.
Yeah,
they're rolling in, and somebody said, all texting, no tweeting, said, I don't like Barry either. I mean, who thinks Astros condoms would be a good idea? All right, fair enough. I would buy some.
Would
no?
You?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes one
big
of
star
us.
On the end of it?
No, like the old school logo. So you have kind of have
star?
The dome on the dome.
Okay.
See
what I was going to say, a little star on the end of it like a Christmas tree.
You
but
can do that too if you want.
Dome on a dome. I'm digging that. Hey, don't force it, Joel.
No, the old school
don't
logo.
Don't force it. What?
The old school logo with the dome and the balls are, you know, flying around. The word Astros. You know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, I said it.
Mine would just say Ast. I wouldn't be able to roll it down all the way for the Strohs. Mm-hmm. Why isn't Eric
Spoelstra? Why are you trying to be funny, Barry?
I don't know. God,
Now I'm just going to be in this constant loop in my head. Like, wait, should I make the joke? Yeah, Justin, I'm going to make them all.
Dumbass.
I'm throwing them all out there. You might laugh, you might not. They're not all going to be funny. That's how it works. Why isn't Eric Spoelstra considered a great coach? He went to the NBA Finals 5 years in a row.
Who said he wasn't?
I don't know. I mean, the what he did with the Heat after, I thought was pretty damn good, all things considered.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're not sitting there bashing coaches.
No. This was just the one. I mean, I made a simple comment about they're trying to, if they get Aaron Boone, they're trying to make the next Steve Kerr for the MLB, and Novo said Steve Kerr is not a good coach, and I disagree. And the proof is there.
Then he said he was a Spurs fan, and Greg Popovich isn't a good coach.
Which is even more ridiculous.
Worldwide, he is the best coach in the NBA, and maybe one of the best of all time in any sport, let alone in the NBA. So, I mean, out of left field is one thing, but
and
reel
Eric Spoelstra, I mean, that was a guy a lot of people appreciate the way he came up. Wasn't he like a video intern?
Yeah, so he was a point guard. So I actually, his sister gave me my first job in the NBA.
Wow.
I was hired as an intern by Monica Spoelstra, his sister. And so when I went to Portland to work, Eric was the starting point guard on the University of Portland Pilots. His dad is long been given credit, and he's written books on being the marketing guru that started sports marketing in professional sports. So once Eric got done playing, he started working to try and get a job, and through connections, he got a job with the Miami Heat as assistant video coordinator, then video coordinator, and then he became one of Pat Riley's guys. And then Dwayne Wade, when he went there, liked him because he was the guy that opened up the gym at night so he could work on his stuff. And then Eric Spoelstra said, why don't you come in the video room with me? We can work on some things. And then he became Wade's guy. So between having Riley and Wade on your side, you can kind of climb the ladder and follow it, and it climbed all the way till when Riley was ready to pack it up and shut it down. Spoelstra was the guy. And look, he's done a hell of a job. Yep. He's a student of the game.
Yep.
And he dated Rick Adelman's daughter in high school, so he had that NBA connection there already. Fact. Just a fact.
Okay.
So there you go. I'm just throwing it all up.
Just throwing out the fun facts.
If you're not here for the funny business and the funny games, you can still get information here too, Justin.
That's right. A lot of folks don't like Justin on the text line. I'm trying to... There's none that I want to read that I think would justify it other than that one. Others are just, I can't even read all the words they put on here.
Dirty words?
Yeah.
Naughty words?
They're not being nice.
Words you were trying to misspell purposely? No?
No, but I tell you what, I'd never want to get on the bad side of our listeners that text the show, because they are mean right now.
They are brutal when they're mean, dude.
Nick speaking from experience.
They are brutal.
Nick speaking to the 409 right now.
I think we can all speak from experience on that
one. Oh, God, yeah.
But, it's pretty ugly right now.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I'm going to stop reading those because it's making me chuckle on the inside. Somebody said, I'm the one that made the beard bet with you. Do I need to send you a picture of mine? No, because the bet was if they won that I wouldn't shave. I mean, you can do whatever you want, but I said I wasn't going to do the Movember.
No, Nick and I talked to him and said, you can cover for us. You can do it instead of us.
I hate you so much for not admitting it. It's driving me insane that he won't just say, okay, yeah, I said I wouldn't.
I couldn't take it, man.
I'm glad. I
gave in. I threw in the towel.
My poor wife having to look at this on a daily basis.
Your face?
Does she say something like every day now?
Yeah. I mean, she's just like last night, you know, I got home late and I kissed her hello and she was just like, ugh. That's all. That was it. Just
so ugh. On that note, like, as really? I look at his cheek and realizes he has like an outline, like from the sideburn, it's like the state of North Carolina.
Here we go. Like I didn't get roasted enough last night. Here we go again.
To again, and this is weird, but I can
go
agree
ahead.
With you. So this weekend, because I had, before her, we got done with the show Wednesday, and her parents came in. So they had never seen me with a beard before, and they were kind of like liking it, whatever. So then after playing basketball Thursday morning, I came home and I go, you know what I'm going to do? Because I had a couple, just the gray right on. So I said, I'm going to carve this out, but I'm going to carve the front below my lip out, except for I'll leave a little flavor saver.
Like, yeah
kind of like what you got going. Everything like that. Lisa walks in the bathroom. She goes, oh, hell no. At this point, if you're just screwing around with it, now it's got to go. So then I'm like David Ortiz. I'm carving out. The mustache is gone, but I'm leaving this real fine line. She's like, just let me know when you keep going until it's all gone. I'm like, yeah, all right.
I did Movember a few years ago, and I can't grow. I mean, I can grow a goatee, but my mustache I can do really well. But so I grew this, but the mustache gets creepy real quick.
That should have been the bet.
and
creepy, like Super Mario Brothers,
looking like I've diddled little boys creepy.
Like you have a dungeon little boys like I've touched trapped in a basement
kid.
Somewhere?
Yeah, like I've touched a kid inappropriately creepy. Like it's bad. And
that
so,
should have been the bet for sure.
Yeah, so I grew one out and people were just like, God, Barry, I can't wait for you for December. You look creepy. And so when I shaved it for a couple days, I did a reverse Hitler where I shaved out the middle right under the nostrils and left the outside edges.
Oh, I know some guys that did that. Yeah. Yeah.
That went real well. The wife really loved that one. So yeah, I told her I don't care. I'm keeping it for a couple of days, and that's when I had my corporate job, which they really thought highly of me in meetings.
Wow,
the reverse Hitler. So
Nick, and he did include you on this, but Jerry did not call today, but he did tweet telling a comedian, and I use that term loosely, not to tell jokes, is like telling Nick to grow a full beard. They just can't do it.
Oh, see, wow.
Jerry
got him. Shots fired.
Somebody said Justin just must not like black people. Oh my goodness, I love it. Yeah, Justin's a new listener. Justin, I don't want to go down the Jim Road route because Jim Rome used to say this.
Oh,
all
Jim
the time.
Rome, I thought you said Jim Road.
Did I say road?
Yeah.
I was probably going to say Jim Rome Road, but I said Jim Road route. Okay, whatever.
James Paul.
We gotta tell that story in a second.
Now we'll explain it later.
But I don't want to go down the Jim Rome route where Jim, whenever he would get into a new market, he'd be like, hey, we're an acquired taste. It's the jungle. It's an acquired taste. Give it 2 weeks, clones, if you don't like it, you know, but it'll grow on you. And while he was doing this? Yeah. I imagine that this show, or maybe me or one of us, is the same way. Because I think there are some listeners that didn't like us as much in the beginning that are maybe on board now. And I know some aren't. They turn their station and they're not listening anymore. And I get that. But maybe give it a couple more weeks. And if you still don't like it, well,
there's whatever. Other choices. Yeah. But we appreciate you listening.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm trying to be nice. But I want to hear.
Why start now?
I know. I want to hear the story that Nick has to tell about
I mean, it
that.
Was just the PA announcer of the Houston Rockets, who a lot of you may know.
Matt Thomas.
Yeah, so Chris Paul scored a basket and he just had a slip up. He's really good on the PA. I think he does a decent job.
He is good at what he does.
Yeah, and he just said, James, and he realized it was Chris Paul who scored mid-sentence, and he was just like, James Paul. So that's the best he could do. Which, if you're put in that situation, what else are you going to say?
I would like a Southwest Airlines commercial, want to get away.
I would have
yeah, it's exactly
but
what
But maybe
it
just
is.
Go, James Harden didn't score. Chris Paul with the bucket.
Oh, like make just, fun of it? Yeah, that could have been cool, too.
I mean, you know, everyone in the arena knows what you did. You might as well own it. But I would feel, oh, God, I would get that sinking feeling. Your face gets all flush and hot.
Especially
so
when you know where they seat him, because I think he's, like, right next to, like, he's right in, like, he's, like, courtside, like, right in the middle between, like, a whole bunch of other media members. Right, Joel? Isn't that where they
see
them?
Yeah. He's the only one that gets a good seat.
Yeah.
I would be worried to do that job because I would be, like, I often
Your
am concerned.
Seat's always good there.
I'm concerned about our conversations during the breaks.
Yeah.
Like, accidentally getting the hot mic. Because we say some stuff
that's
that
we
don't want
about
people
when
to
Nick
hear.
Goes hot, right in the middle of us ready to cut.
Yeah, but I would be so worried that would happen at the arena where, like, you'd be at a break and you'd think the mic is off and you start talking crap about somebody and then the whole arena can hear the conversation.
That'd be terrible.
That would worry me to death. Maybe that's probably, I wouldn't even take the job just because I would be worried about doing that. Yeah, that sucks though. James Paul.
Want to get away?
That is definitely one of those moments.
All right, we got one in the books, two to go, plenty more of the big show. So if you're not put out by the fact that we are going to be funny as well as sportsy, then you can stick with us and we'll ride till 4 o'clock till we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz and hopefully brighten up your Tuesday. Back with a whole lot more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two forts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.